face in my league. Got a blockbuster on my way and a pickup up my sleeve. They call my team insane, say I'm the one to beat. So you better bring your A game and start playing, cause every single week another win for me.
Yo, commissioner, you can just pay me now. City win first place, then take a bow. Finish on top, I'ma set the standard. Don't believe me, you could check the standings. When I draft, I make smart selections. Got more sleepers than a narcoleptic. Meet your match, kid, my lineup's nasty. It's far-fetched, thinking you might catch me. No surprise, I'm taking home the prize. Only time I...
Welcome to the Beat the Shift edition of the Great Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this first Beat the Shift episode is Ariel Cohen and Reuven Guy. Ariel, how you doing?
I am doing great, Justin. Great to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you as well. This is going to be a fun new regular episode of this podcast, so hopefully people enjoy it. Something a little bit different than what I've been doing and what I did last year, so I thought we'd spice it up. We have Reuven Guy. Reuven, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Before we jump into our topics for today, I wanted each of you guys, everybody kind of knows me. I don't think people, unless they heard Ariel's episode last season as a guest, know you guys real well. So why don't we start with you, Reuven? Why don't you tell people, one, where you can reach on social media, and two, a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, you can find me on social media at on Twitter. I'm at MLB Injury Guru. And if anyone has any other questions and they can't reach me by that, you can also reach me at MLBInjuryGuru@gmail.com. And I've been a PA for the past 10 years working in orthopedics and pain management, and huge baseball fan. Unfortunately, I'm a Met fan as well. And because of all the injuries the Mets had, it got me into thinking of throwing my hat into the ring and trying to help people figure out how long players are going to be out for.
All right. And then Ariel, talk a little bit about yourself and where you can be reached.
Sure. Well, you can reach me on Twitter at ATCNY. I have the shortest Twitter handle that there possibly can be. I, by trade, I'm an actuary. I do a lot of modeling in my day job. So I have brought over the modeling knowledge and know-how to a much better arena where it could be used in a far more important way to fantasy baseball, where I do the ATC projections, which are now up on the Fangraphs website, and you can download the projections there. Yeah.
All right. And then, of course, you can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Still a few spots left in our satellite leagues if you want to try to get into a satellite league to win your way into the 2020 Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational. You can make a donation to Fantasy Cares through our PayPal, thegreatfantasyinvitational@gmail.com, and leave a 5-star review for this podcast, and then send me screenshots of that, and then I will get you in. We will stop the signups on February 1st. February 1st, that's your last chance. And if we have a few extra spots, I'll get those filled by maybe some stragglers. But if you want to get in, this is your last chance. I'm filling up the fourth league right now, so hopefully people want to get in. So far, we have raised over $1,000 for Fantasy Cares, which spends the money towards charitable causes, but mostly towards buying kids presents for Christmas that wouldn't otherwise get it, donating to places like Toys for Tots. So a very worthy cause. I'd love to get over $2,000, but we'll see. We're working our way towards there, but a donation of any size will get it done. So definitely do that. Let's jump in to our first Beat the Shift episode, and we're going to start with a strategy section. Ariel's going to give us kind of a brief overview of ways we could find undervalued players. So Ariel, take it off.
Sure. The general tenet here is that you need to find value somewhere in the draft. if you're in an auction, you're given $260 to spend on your team. If you buy a $10 player for $10 of value, you actually did yourself no favors there. Because if you keep spending par value, $15 on a $15 player and $30 on a $30 player, you're going to end up with $260 of value for your team. But that's going to be just an average team, because people are going to get more than 260 and people are going to get less than 260. But if you spend par value, you're just going to be an average team. You're going to finish seventh in your 15 team league. You don't want to do that. And it's the same thing for a draft. You can't buy a fifth round player in the fifth round and then an eighth round player in the eighth round. You need to get that seventh round player in the 12th round and that 10th round player in the 20th round. And you need to buy a seventh round player in the eighth round. Even a little bit of a discount is fine, especially up top for the more expensive players, but you need to get value, 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 value. So here's a couple of steps that we do. One is we start with the projection system to project what the players are expected to do this year. And I have the ACC projections, which we'll talk about on a different episode more. But then you have what the market is paying for the players. We're talking about ADP or an average draft position, or for auctions, an average auction value, AAV. And what you need to do is you need to line them up. And what I do is I have a list of players, and here's my values for them, which my projection system predicts. Here's what the market's going for them. And there are going to be a lot of players who are going to be overvalued, meaning if I have a $30 value, they're going for $32, or a $25 player going for $27. But there's going to be some players who are going to be just out there as a bargain. The average draft position is indicating that the player is going for $5, but our projections say $10. So I'm not always going to get that kind of bargain. Somebody who is running with my projections might also think he's a $10 player. But if I zoom in and we look at and highlight to ourselves a bunch of players who look like they could be a profit if they're taken at the average opportunity cost, that's a good list of players to monitor. You'll get a couple of them in your auction, and they're going to bring you big value. So that's the general principle of winning fantasy baseball is, A, you need value, and B, look for players who can possibly be value, because those are most likely to be available at a great opportunity cost.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and move on and talk about some of the players you've projected through the ATC. Again, you can find those on FanGraphs, on each player's page, and they've also got a projection system there. Then you can kind of sort by which projection system you'd like to use. Ariel does very, very well every year with these, so I suggest using his over the other ones. But it's always nice to kind of look at some of the other ones out there. The BAT, depth charts, Steamer, Zips are all over there on FanGraphs. And that's a place I work, so I definitely prefer them over other places. So let's start with some corner infielders and talk about. We have Miguel Andujar and his projection. What are you seeing from him this year, Ariel?
So Miguel Andujar is one of the players that come up as a small bargain for corner infield. We actually find that the corner infield does not have a lot of bargains up top. There are other positions, especially outfield, that I see that there are better value up top. So Miguel Andujar, who's like a dollar, or maybe a couple of spots of a bargain that we see, are there. Andujar is the classic rookie flash from last year. Question is, what will he be next year in terms of a sophomore slump? Ruben, what do you have for Miguel Andujar?
Well, Miguel Andujar actually played the majority of the season last year. He only missed 1 week, only because he was in the minors, so he missed 1 week of the season. And his power may or may not be a fluke, because in 2017, in Double A and Triple A combined, he only hit 16 home runs. And last year, he actually hit 27. So he is set up for a possible sophomore slump if people are expecting him to hit 27 home runs again.
I think the biggest issue with me and Andujar is, I think there's two issues. One, will he stay in New York? Because he's been mentioned a ton in trade negotiations, and I think it's largely due to his defense. His defense is atrocious. He's a really, really poor defensive third baseman. I think at some point, if he's going to stay in New York, they need to move him over to first base, where they already employ Greg Bird and Luke Voit. Now, I don't think those are guys that necessarily are going to stop Andujar if he is still hitting well. But if there's any sort of regression this year with Andujar, and they don't move him, then he's going to really suffer playing time-wise, because his defense is not going to keep him on the field. His defense is going to cost him more time than anything else. So that would be my fear, and my other fear would be if he got moved to a poor location. So a place like Miami, where there isn't much around him, that largely would probably happen in like a Real Muto deal, which would further weaken the Miami lineup. And then that park wouldn't be great for him either. So I think there are a lot of things that, while he may be a bargain considering what his situation is now, that situation could easily change, and that would be very scary for me in his value.
Yeah, he's very streaky. I mean, there are periods in the year where he has some offers for a while. He's very streaky. He's prone to slumps, maybe even long slumps. I'm not the biggest Miguel Andujar fan, but he's one of the guys that just comes up as a possible bargain. Now, again, you know, we have a long preseason, and obviously you'll see what he's doing in spring training. That projection could adjust, and his market value could adjust. But he's something just to keep an eye on, because he obviously has a very nice ceiling. Last year he had 27 homers with almost a .300 average. You can't discount that upside.
What about him versus guys like Suarez and Chris Bryant?
Chris Bryant, my feeling on him is, you know, is more than the injury, and I guess Ruben can talk a little bit about that, but obviously Bryant has a much higher upside there. Suarez, to me, is the safest option of anyone. I think he's a completely safe player, and, you know, it depends on his opportunity cost. He's going higher than Miguel Andujar now, but for the same price, my pick is Suarez.
Ruben, what are your thoughts on Bryant's shoulder? Because I agree that if Bryant is 100% healthy, that he is actually kind of a steal where he's going. And I always think that Suarez is a little bit underrated considering where he's going, though his price has raised from previous seasons. But Bryant's value, I think, completely is contingent on that shoulder. So what are your thoughts?
As of now, Chris Bryant is participating in batting practice. He started in December 1st, he started doing batting practice, and he's considered full strength right now, so there should be no concern with his injury. However, if he gets into any bad habits because of his injury, that may be something to watch out for.
Okay, so would you think he's going to potentially rebound to what we saw the previous season when he was a first-round talent?
100%, I believe so, because there is no reason not to think if he's full strength, he can do what he did, not when he first came up, but in 2017, he can 100% he can repeat that.
All right. Moving on over to like a first baseman. Errol, what are your thoughts on Jose Abreu in Chicago? It's a nice park. He's been a kind of a steady Eddie contributor. Is he a guy that you're targeting this year?
Jose Abreu, definitely. He is the highest guy with a bargain on my list here from the corner infield position. He had a down year last year, but before then, he had four consecutive years of 25 homers or more. He hit .300 every year. The question is really, what is his injury status as of last year? Because that injury sapped him something, and Ruben can talk to that, but even if he has a minor rebound, he's a bargain. And if he goes back to what his usual is, and that's a huge, huge value there. And he was a $27 player in 2017. He's going for an $18 value. He's somebody that I see what he did last year as his floor with upside back to second round talent.
Ruben, do you think he's a second-round potential talent, and do you think he's healthy?
Yes. I don't think he's a second-round talent. I think he's more like a third or fourth round, but he is completely healthy. He's going into his he's 31 years old. He lost 15 pounds before the beginning of last season, and he did have surgery around Labor Day this past year for testicular torsion, which is not that comfortable, and that was followed up by a thigh infection, which also kept him out during most people's playoff runs, including mine, and that screwed up everybody toward the end of the season. But he seems completely healthy, and there's no reason why he can't play his average of about 148 to 150 games next year. So there's no reason why he also can't rebound, but I don't think he's a second round. You can probably wait until either the third, fourth, and even fifth round to snag him.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry. I just want to say that, when doing projections, the ACC projections take a lot of different projections and averages them together. But I get a look at what all the other projections are saying, and I see whether there is agreement or not agreement. For Abreu, everyone is very much in agreement in his statistics. I call it a very stable projection. When somebody has this kind of stability up higher in the draft, that is somebody that I want to target. I want to target less risky players up top, and possibly some risk down low. But for Abreu, who is definitely in the top couple of rounds in any case, for projections to really all agree, that's a very good sign.
Well, and you can even get him cheaper than that. He just went in the NFBC draft and hold that I'm in, and we're in kind of the middle towards the end of the seventh round. So, and that's a 15-team league. So he's going fairly cheaply in some drafts. I think people see him as an older player. I think people would be surprised to know that he's only 31. I was going to be 32 in a few days here. But he's a cheaper guy than I think maybe people really give him credit for. I think he'll bounce back too. And not only that, that White Sox team is going to be better. They've made some signings. I wouldn't be surprised to see them get either Harper or Machado. Eloy Jimenez is going to be up. That's going to be a much better team than it was last year. Jose Abreu is going to find his way on a few of my teams.
Yeah, and the key here is low risk. You think about Joey Votto, who is going somewhere close to him in draft. Joey Votto, I don't know what he's going to be. I think he's going to bounce back, but you're never totally sure here. Abreu is somebody who I find is just low risk, and I think last year is likely completely injury related. I'll also add that his BABIP, which is batted balls in play, was very low, which indicates that he was unlucky, that a lot of his hits just weren't going through the defenses or were just getting caught. So if that goes back to regular levels, he can be right up there to close to 300.
All right, let's talk about Eric Hosmer. Is Eric Hosmer a guy that you think will bounce back a little bit after a rough start to a big contract?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Hosmer is a guy who has been all over the place in his career. He batted over 300. In 2017, he batted 318. Last year, he had sort of a disaster at 253. But I definitely think that last year was somewhere on the low side, and he will have a bounce back. With Hosmer, to me, it's just that his price is so low. We're projecting, the ATC projections show him as a $15 player, but he is going for something, an auction equivalent of $9. That's a $6 bargain, which is huge at this level. Even if he gets back to what he did last year, let's say he's a disappointment and he did the same thing again, he's a bargain. He was worth $10 last year. If he bounces back a little, then he's worth $15. If he does what he did 2 years ago, maybe he takes time to adjust to the new park, maybe he gets helped in the middle of the year in the lineup, then we're talking $20-something value. So he's the guy that, I don't love him personally, but he is a bargain.
What are your thoughts on Hosmer, Reuven?
Hosmer, I think, is his issue is the stadium he plays in, the division he plays in. He's always, he's playing 19 games against the Dodgers, and they always have a good pitching staff. He has no protection. So as soon as some other younger players start actually chipping in, like when they finally bring up Fernando Tatis Jr. and he starts chipping in, and he doesn't get so much pressure. Remember, when he was in Kansas City, he wasn't the main guy. It was a team effort. Everybody hit around him, and he prospered that way. He had only hit 18 home runs last year, and he played just as many games, basically, as he's been doing his entire career. That's a product of his stadium more than anything else, I think. And I don't think he's ever going to get back to that 25 home run level again. If anything, this may be where he's at. The only thing that may change is what Ariel mentioned before. His batting average should rebound a little bit because his BABIP was pretty not that great last year. But otherwise, I think this is what we're going to be getting out of him.
I would disagree in terms of that – the stadium held him back. I think that, one, sometimes guys struggle and press a little bit in a first year of a new big deal. Because it's not like Kauffman Stadium is a great place to hit either. Kauffman Stadium is a pretty large stadium. But I do think this is kind of who he is. So he may get a little bit more power back, and so he's hitting 22 home runs. But how many guys do you want hitting 22 home runs as your first baseman? I mean, unless you steal in more than five or six bags and he's hitting back to 300, he's not really worth consideration, at least for me in most of my drafts, as my first baseman. Now, you can always... I always say that a fantasy team is like a puzzle, or like certain puzzles. They can go together different ways. It doesn't have to fit this like cookie cutter idea of what a team should look like. But Eric Hosmer just is a high floor, low ceiling type of player that doesn't really interest me that much.
Well, there were 27 players last year who hit 30 or more home runs. 10 were corner infielders, and there were 11 outfielders who did it. So you don't necessarily need your power at this spot. Mm-hmm. If he can hit 280 and hit 20 home runs as your corner infielder, that's perfectly fine if your outfield is stacked.
Yeah, that's true. Let's move on over to Josh Bell and talk about him. He had a big rookie year, then slumped last season. Is this going to be a bounce back season, Ruben?
I think it probably will be a bounce back season, because last year he did deal with an oblique injury for most of the season. After the 2016 season, he had knee surgery as well. So he's typically a slow starter and a slow finisher. So if he can actually put it together and stay healthy, there's no reason why he can't get back to the 25 home run level, because he's shown it in the minors in the past.
Ariel, what are your thoughts on Bell?
I'm extremely high on Bell this year. Bell is the number one bargain in the corner infield, according to the ATC projections. Last year, his homer to fly ball ratio was 9.2, where the previous year it was 19. I think he got dripped a little bit. He got unlucky there, and I think that if that stabilizes, which it sort of was starting to do, I think that he is in prime for a big rebound.
I'm with you guys. I'm a big Josh Bell guy. I was very highly invested in him last season. Felt like he lost some of that power with that oblique injury. And we see that on occasions with guys. They get that oblique injury and it kind of ruins their season. Still walks at a huge rate. Doesn't strike out. He's got a sub 20% strikeout rate. There's more pop in that bat. We saw it in 2017. I think he's a guy that should bounce back to over 20 home runs with a decent average, and he's going extremely late. Bell is a really nice option as kind of your corner infielder in a 15-team league or a bench bat in a 12-team league.
His ADP is 258, which is in the 18th round. I mean, to me, I'm passing that whole middle section corner infield. If I didn't get a top guy that I really liked earlier on, I'm really passing on almost everybody, because I know Bell is going to be there very, very late, and he doesn't have to do much to really earn that spot, that his position. Huge fan of Bell for going into 2019.
You wanted to talk a little bit about, at least you put him on the show notes, Patrick Wisdom and Renato Nunez, Ariel. So tell me why they're interesting to you.
Well, for Patrick Wisdom, he was more interesting a couple of days ago before Azubel Cabrera signed. Mm-hmm. Looking at the Texas roster, you know, you had Adrian Beltre there last year, the Rangers traded to the Cardinals for Wisdom. He was like the only third baseman on the roster. Anytime you have a guy who looks like he's going to be the starter, it's always worth monitoring. Mm-hmm. And a guy who has a couple of skills. Last year, in just 50 at-bats, he had four homers, two stolen bases, and hit .260. We have him projected for 366 at-bats. That was at least prior to Drupal. With 16 homers, 8 stolen bases, he's just worth monitoring. If he hits the floor running in April, he's going to stick the entire year. So you just need to be careful of these guys and just monitor them. Again, these guys are totally free. They're not being taken in draft, but somebody that... spring training, if he comes up, then, you know, just don't be afraid to stick him in your lineup week one.
And he does have power upside, as he hit 31 home runs in the minor leagues in 2017, but he batted only .243. He had 57 extra base hits, but his K rate was 29.4. So this is very similar profile to what Joey Gallo has. So it's just something to keep an eye on as well.
Renato Nunez is a guy I'm keeping an eye on because, like you mentioned, guys who have jobs, maybe on bad teams, but have jobs, are always interesting to me. And Nunez has power. He hit 32 home runs in AAA in 2017. Power was down a little bit last year, but has finally found a full-time job and home in Camden Yards, which is a great place to hit. The bat has him projected for 21 home runs. You have him projected through ATC, 16 home runs. Depth chart has him projected for 23 home runs. Steamer has him projected for 18 home runs. I think I'm more on the high side because I know there's a ton of power there, and he should get everyday playing time at least to start off. Nunez is kind of a former top prospect that never really panned out, but he's still only 24 years old. Are you guys buying in to Renato Nunez, Ariel?
I think he's free. So, you know, there's not much to lose by taking a stab at him. He's, again, the same kind of class of player that you take a look at what's doing in spring training. He looks like he's doing all right. His average is not terrible. He's shown power. Some of these rookies like to display their power and go all out in spring training. And, you know, I can see him hitting a half a dozen homers and catching people's eye, you know. So just watch out for him, and I might be a buyer if I see something I like in spring training.
He was also originally drafted by Billy Bean, so Billy Bean saw something, then there is something there. He did hit 23 homers in AAA in 2016 and 32 in 2017. He was actually let go. He was DFA'd by Oakland, and Baltimore picked him up, and he was already up in the majors by July, and there's nobody behind him. Baltimore is rebuilding. I don't know how long they're going to rebuild for, and there's nobody behind them, so they're going to let him play. They're going to put him out there every day, and he's worth a shot.
Yeah, I'm going to have a lot of shares, especially in my deeper formats of Renato Nunez. I've been a fan in the past. If you've been a long-time listener of the show, I want to say about 2 years ago, I predicted him as my deep sleeper breakout. Never came, but maybe 2 years too late, but I think it's going to come this year. Average may not be great, but there's power in that bat, and if you want some cheap power in a deeper format, he's a guy to target.
It also depends on where he bats in the lineup. He might be batting fifth or sixth, depending upon what the Orioles have there and how much they trade away before the end of the season.
Yes. Let's finish up this section with Jake Bowers, Mikel Franco, and Jose Martinez. What are your thoughts on them, Ariel?
Jake Bowers is a player that was traded to Cleveland. They're not trading him for no reason. He's got the power split, the power speed combo. We're projecting him for 17 homers and 10 stolen bases, and he showed that last year. The biggest thing for last year is that he had huge counting stats in the run production. He had 48 runs and 48 RBIs in just over 300 at bats. So he's somebody with a lot of upside who was traded there. I'll also mention another guy who's similar to this price point here in Kyle Seager. Kyle Seager is, I think, primed for a nice bounce back. He had a terrible broken toe in the middle of the year, which I think really took the wind out of him. And Kyle Seager, he had 15 home runs in the first half. He was on pace for a nice 30 home run season, which he's done before. He's going dirt cheap everywhere. Get Kyle Seager this year.
Reuven, what are your thoughts?
I've always been a Mikel Franco fan. The problem is that they're in Philly. They want to win now, as all the the free agent talk, trying to get Manny Machado and everything like that. They're losing a little bit of patience in him. I'm still high on him because a couple of years ago, I actually spoke to an assistant GM in Washington, and I asked him, who's going to be the best player in about 5 years from now? And this is the Washington assistant GM saying Mikel Franco. So he has the skills. It's a matter of him just putting it together. And as for Jake Bowers, I got on his bandwagon, and I bought full shares midseason last year, and it worked out beautifully for me. And now he's in Cleveland. He's going to be switching off. He's eligible both at first base and in outfield. He's also a possible 20 home run player. He's going to be hitting probably fifth in the lineup, I'd assume, somewhere behind Carlos Santana. So I'm much higher on Bowers than I am in Franco. So that's where it stands with that.
I'm not a big fan of either of these guys, personally. I've fallen for the Franco trap before. I mean, I guess he's a cheap power source as long as they don't sign Manny Machado, which I think Machado ends up in Chicago with the White Sox, and I think Harper ends up in Philadelphia with the Phillies. So he probably will play, and he's going to be in what should be a pretty potent lineup. He's going to be probably batting lower down it, so it's going to be harder for him to get a huge amount of plate appearances, and if he does struggle like he has in the past, they could look for another option outside of the organization, or potentially even move over a different guy over to the position. So, but right now he's slated to bat six. That would probably be knocked down a spot if they added a piece, which I think everybody expects them to. Franco, he's still only 26 years old. I guess I'm not completely giving up on him. Bowers is, to me, he's just a new incarnation of Eric Hosmer. And I've already talked about that I don't really like Eric Hosmer, except for there's prospect pedigree and people really like him and want to believe that he's going to grow into more power. I have a hard time buying that. I have a hard time buying some of the projections. The projection I really like, actually, is Ruvens. 17 home runs, 10 stolen bases, a .239 batting average. That isn't a guy I necessarily want on my team. Go ahead, Ruven. Or sorry, Ariel.
Yeah, Ariel.
Yeah, no. Again, I think Ruven is higher than Bowers and I am, but it's just the cost here. I mean, he's going. His ADP spot is 246. That's the end of the 17th round. If you want a guy who's just going to stabilize some of the run production, who's going to get you a couple of steals and get you a home some power, and if your batting average is okay, he's a guy that might be a good volume play, very cheap. It's just where you are in the draft. He is a guy that very possibly could fit your team.
Yeah, unfortunately, there are guys in that area, even at corner infield, that I like considerably more. I mean, we just talked about Josh Bell. It's only going about five picks higher than him, according to the NFBC ADP. Miguel Sano, who's going about 30 picks higher than him. I'd much rather take a bet on that upside returning. If you like youth, you like prospects, Peter Alonso. I'm not a big Peter Alonso guy, but he's going right in that area. Ian Happ, who was the flavor of last year's draft season, is going behind Jake Bowers. There's too many guys that I like going in that area more.
And what that tells you, though, the fact that there's so many people in that area, I call it a hot spot. You don't have to take a high up corner. You can wait for your first baseman, you can wait for your third baseman, and just grab cheap guys and put your money into the outfield position or get a better starter. There's a lot of depth here, low in the corner infield, all at the same range. It's just a value proposition on the whole corner infield position in general.
Okay, let's transition into our last segment. And Ruven, I want you to give us some injury updates, and then also talk about some players who played all 162 games in 2018.
Sure. Now we already mentioned Chris Bryant. He is at full strength. He's been doing batting practice since December, so that's his story. Matt Chapman had left thumb surgery October 2018, and then again had left shoulder surgery in December, which was considered minor. And he wasn't supposed to start swinging a bat until 6 weeks later. So he should be starting to swing a bat now, which may actually delay his start in spring training. Will Myers is completely healthy. He's going back to the outfield, which should be great for his foot and oblique because they're 100%. Josh Donaldson, who missed a ton of time last year from his calf. He actually missed 4 months due to his calf, but he also missed some time in the beginning of the season with shoulder inflammation. He only played 38 games last year at third base and 12 at DH. He's in a National League park now, so that's something just to keep in the back of your mind as well. Jake Lamb is reported healthy. He is going to be playing first base this year, so he shouldn't have any issues with his shoulder as he did when he was playing third base. Miguel Cabrera, as of today, was cleared for spring training. He is 100%, and he should be good to go. Jay Bruce, who actually qualifies at first base, started this last season with plantar fasciitis, which led to a back problem, which gave him a left hip strain, and he was out for 2.5 months. There is no reason why he cannot bounce back and have a complete season like he had before. This injury happened to Albert Pujols a couple years ago, and he bounced back and did perfectly fine, so I expect big things from him. Speaking of Albert Pujols, he had bone spur removed in September, and he had left knee surgery at the end of August as well. He's doing BP since December as well. He's good to go. Logan Morrison, just guys who are still somewhat on the radar, had left hip surgery. There's no timetable for his return. And lastly, Pablo Sandoval should be healthy, but he is only fighting for a roster spot. That's just something to keep an eye on.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for our first Beat the Shift episode. Hope everybody enjoyed it. I hope Ariel and Reuven both enjoyed kind of their first podcast swing. Ariel, why don't you tell people, again, where you can reach on social media and then plug anything you got going on?
Sure. Again, my social media handle, Twitter, is at ATCNY. Don't forget that one. You can read all my work at Fangraphs Rotographs. You can listen to me right here.
And Reuven, what do you got going on?
I'm on Twitter. I'm at MLB Injury Guru. And if there are any fantasy emergencies, I am at MLBInjuryGuru@gmail.com.
And then you can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. Email me or the show, thegreatfantasyinvitational@gmail.com. I just released a draft guide that Reuven was featured in as well, did a couple articles and some injury stuff, which was really, really good. But it's also about 400-plus pages of information, prospect stuff, strategy stuff, ranks, all sorts of great things. It is $7.50 for an ebook or PDF. If you want a PDF, just email me, justinmasonfantasy@gmail.com, or you can get a paperback on Amazon as well. It is a bestseller on Amazon, which is pretty amazing considering it's only our second draft guide. We'll be updating it all draft season, so if you get the PDF, you expect to get a ton of emails as I update it as things change within baseball. People sign, people get traded, people get hurt. All that stuff is going to be updated all draft season, and it's, I believe, the only guide that will be doing that, at least as often as we will. So definitely go get that. You could read the rest of my work over on Friends of Fantasy Benefits, Fangraphs, and Fantasy Alarm, and you can hear me on the Sleeper in the Bus podcast and the Friends of Fantasy Benefits podcasts, where we're about to finish our 60 podcasts in 30 days, doing 30 team previews and 30 prospect previews. So if you're into the prospect stuff, if you want team previews, go over there, Friends of Fantasy Benefits, and subscribe to that as well. That will wrap us up for this episode. For Ariel, Reuven, and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season. First place in my league, got a blockbuster on my way, and a pickup on my sleeve. They call my team insane, say I'm the one to beat. So you better bring your A game and start playing, because every single week another win for me. Yo, commissioner, you can just pay me now. City win first place, then take a bow. Finish on top, I'ma set the standard. Don't believe me, you could check the standings. When I draft, I'll make smart selections. Got more sleepers than a narcoleptic. Meet your match, kid, my lineup's nasty. It's far-fetched, thinking you might catch me. No surprise, I'm taking home the prize. Only time I rest is a playoff bye. Make amazing finds off the waiver wire. All day and night, better stay retired. See me in first, all proud and cozy. Bro, please, I can't even count my trophies. Bragging, even with my bats are slumping, I'ma pack a punch, that track a junkie. But one they don't wanna play, first place in my league. Got a blockbuster on my way, and a pickup on my sleeve. They call my team insane, say I'm the one to beat. So you better bring your A game.